Dear congregation, it's been weeks since we've had any considerable rain in our area, and it's worrisome, especially during this planting season. Looking around us, we can see already the grass that was so green just a month ago, now turning yellowish, even brown in the heat. And what a picture this is of our dependence on Almighty God for our natural life, but how much more for our spiritual life as well. Because I wonder how long it has been since your heart, your life had a shower of gospel truth and grace, in which you felt the drought, the parched soil of your heart, truly refreshed and satisfied. And this is what the Word of God speaks us frequently in many places, and we hope to hear one passage, our text passage, Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, that speaks about this. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Thus far our text. Looking to the Lord, our theme is a gentle shower of truth. We'll see, first of all, that God's truth addresses our deepest needs. We'll see, secondly, that God's truth is suited to each soul, also those that feel the weakest. Thirdly and lastly, God's truth brings us the Savior. So a gentle shower of truth, if you want to shorten it, needed truth, suitable truth, and Savior truth. Well, congregation, Moses had led the people of Israel through the desert for 40 long years. Picture it, children, dry, rocky, hot terrain for 40 years. And now the nation was on the border of the promised land. They were encamped in the plains of Moab on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. You should know that the Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth where we can stand, 1,400 feet below sea level. And if you're in this area, the temperatures are very high. In the summer, it can reach up to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Imagine these 2 million people there, encamped there. And this region gets only about a half an inch of water per year. Now, the Lord had taken care of this nation of Israel through manna from heaven and also with water from the rock. And yet rain, they scarcely knew what rain was. And they must have craved refreshing rain. And so you children, if you had a hot week, maybe in school or playing outside, imagine day in, day out, just longing to stand out in the rain. Well, as Moses is closing his final sermon, he gives the children of Israel a song, which the Lord taught him. And the Lord told him to teach it to Israel and to instruct them to teach it to their children so that their seed would learn this song and it would not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed forever. You can read that in chapter 31, verse 21. And in this long song, of which we've only read half at this time, the Lord, through Moses, says basically three things. First of all, God's sovereign care for his people. He was their rock, their strength, their fortress, their stability. God was their rock. He had cared for them, protected them. But then secondly, this song is about how the people were to God and they forsook God as their rock. They slighted him, despised him. And then the third section of the song is about how God, for reasons inside of himself, inside of his heart, He proves Himself to be a merciful rock once again, and to bring salvation and redemption to a people who didn't deserve it at all. But for His own name's sake, He would prove to be the abiding, the strong, the unending rock for His people. And just as Moses is going to unfold this whole song, he tells the people, what I'm going to tell you now, you should take as rain upon your lives and hearts. It's meant to be gentle, penetrating, refreshing rain. And so all preaching should be exactly that, including that part of preaching that is sometimes hard to take, the warnings, the rebukes, which is, there's a lot of them in this song. And you can say to yourself, well, is that rain? Well, we need the truth of God to penetrate our hearts. And there is no hope with us. It's all from God. And so let God be true and every man a liar. And let the truth of God's goodness and our sinfulness, let that permeate our hearts and penetrate our souls, and we will experience it to be truly rain. And I'm sure that when Moses spoke these words, you could hear from his voice how kind, how gentle, how earnest, how compassionate this servant of God was, aligned with the Spirit of the Lord Himself. You know, it is kindness to speak truth. But when we speak truth, let it be done also in kindness. There's a lesson for us. We know about Moses that he was the meekest man on the earth. So he must have, when he was speaking these things, even these hard things, he must have said them with great gentleness and with great meekness. Like the Apostle Paul says, the servant of God shall not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And the Apostle Paul says about himself, I was gentle among you as a nurse. And think about the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently, that even when He spoke warnings and woes, as He did on one occasion over Jerusalem that rejected and stoned the prophets, He did so with tears in His eyes. He did it with the greatest imaginable compassion, love, earnestness, meekness, and gentleness. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. But sadly, and this is a lesson for all preachers, sadly, we can forget this. And the Bible says in Jude verse 12, it speaks of false teachers as clouds without water. And maybe you don't think that's a problem, but if you're living in the Middle East where you desperately need water and you see a cloud on the horizon, maybe even a dark cloud, and you say, good, rain's coming. The cloud passes over you and there's no rain. It simply slips away and leaves you as dry as you've ever been, if not drier. That's what false teachers and false teaching does. It promises something, but it leaves you drier than ever. But even sound preachers, they need to be given by the Lord. And through His Word, they need to be given that their sermons, that their messages of truth would be truly rain upon our souls. One minister, an older minister, critiqued the sermon of a young student, and he said it this way, and you'll understand what this means. He said to the student, after hearing him preach, he said, there was plenty of thunder, plenty of lightning, but there was no rain in your sermon. In other words, the sermon came on strong, but there was no refreshment at all. Spurgeon tells of seeing a man on a street corner in London who was yelling at the top of his lungs that Jesus was coming back and that destruction was going to fall on the inhabitants of London and so on. And Spurgeon said there could be no fruit from the boisterous shouting of nonsense. We need to give people life-giving, health-giving rain. And that rain, congregation, needs to come also in a way that is suited and fits with simplicity, that matches the hearers and their situation. So you can have, and we all know this too, you can have this pelting, torrential rain that simply runs off the landscape, fills the roads, and then fills all the caverns into which the water runs, and it does the earth no good. Especially if you've been in Israel, you can see these large, dry riverbeds that for most of the year are entirely dry, but when the spring rains come, then they just fill up and they flow torrentially through the landscape, and they'll take out roads and they'll break down bridges. That's not the kind of preaching that we need. We need the gentle rain of truth, a shower that reaches us and that permeates our souls and that drops down deep into our hearts and gives us refreshment and life. Not sermons that are simply torrents of truth, but that don't stick and stay. And why do we need this refreshing rain? Well, it's simply this: our hearts are dry. They're parched. Why? The Bible says we have committed two evils. We have forsaken God, who is the fountain of living water. That's what we did in paradise in Adam, and we do it again and again. We turn our backs on God. God is not enough. God is not who we want or need. And, says Jeremiah, we hew out cisterns that can hold no water. Broken cisterns. That's our life. That's our fall. That's what our heart does. And that can be a riddle to you. Can be a mystery to you. Why do I sin so much? Why do I turn away from God? Why don't I take the good gifts of God? The Word of God? Why am I bent on my own ruin? When the Lord shows you a little of your sin, then that's how it is, and that's how you speak. We need the Lord. We need the fountain of eternal life, which is found alone in God. And what Moses is given here by the Lord to say is, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My doctrine. That word doctrine is a very interesting word. It literally means that which I have received from the Lord. That which I have received from the Lord. You know, when we preachers preach doctrine, we need to make sure that we have it of the Lord. That this is the truth of Jehovah. That this is His Word. It's based on His Word. We don't invent this. We don't think this up. We don't just look around us and come up with this. This must be received. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. Perhaps some of you think, well, doctrine seems so boring, seems so dry. We can even talk like that. Well, that was a dry doctrinal sermon. Oh, congregation, when we have the doctrines of the Scripture as they come in the Scriptures, they're the opposite of dry. They're the opposite of boring. They are rich. They are fertile. They are refreshing. What better doctrine is there than the doctrine of God? Who He is, the majestic, the glorious, the holy God, so good, so kind, the Lord, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. That's exactly who we need, and He comes to us in so many ways. And all the rest of the doctrines too, you go over them. And when you hear them and see them rightly, blessed by the Holy Spirit, they're food for your soul. They're rain upon your heart. They give you God. They give you Christ. They give you redemption, salvation. They give you hope. They give you an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven to them who believe. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. And Moses goes on, he says, my speech, the things that I've received from the Lord that I now speak to you in such a way that you can hear their words, and their words of life. And my speech shall distill as the dew. Very interesting picture. Children, have you ever gone camping? Maybe up north in the summer or in the fall? And it may be very dry. No rain during the day, no rain during the night. But there you are in your tent, and somehow, I remember the first time that this happened to me. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you wake up and it feels like it's rained because you're wet. Your clothes are wet and the tent is wet, and you go outside and whatever towels you've hung on tree branches, they're all wet. What's happened? Well, it's dew, isn't it? And there's scientific explanations for how dew comes about, but there's this condensation point that needs to be reached, and all these water droplets form everywhere, low to the ground. And there are people that harvest this. I read of farms, you can look this up, where in very desert areas they harvest dew, and they can come up with hundreds of liters of fresh water just from harvesting dew in the darkness of the night that comes so mysteriously, without noise, without fanfare. And it covers your soul and it refreshes you when it's the Lord's dew upon your life. Just to give you an example, I know a man, he heard a sermon once and it didn't touch him at all. He was there, he listened to it, it was a fine sermon, but it didn't reach him inside at all until later that week on a Wednesday or Thursday. He was thrown into a catastrophe. Everything seemed to be pulled from underneath him. And his mind went back to that sermon, and all of a sudden, in the darkness of that providence, that word of God, which did nothing to him on Sunday, it was like dew droplets formed on his life, on his heart. The word of God reached him in the midst of his trial and tribulation, mysteriously, when he least expected it. My speech shall distill as the dew. Oh, what the Lord is teaching us here is that in the midst of our great need, our need for God, the Lord has all the answers. He Himself is the answer. And so I ask you, congregation, and let us answer personally before the Lord, when's the last time the Lord rained rain upon your soul? When you knew in your own experience, this is not self, I don't deserve this, the Lord is good and does good. And it wasn't man, it wasn't the situation, it wasn't emotion, it was rain. God's doctrine dropping like rain upon your soul, your dry soul. Do you even feel that you need this? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what you're talking about sounds good, it's words, but do I really need that? Oh, my friend, you so do. If you live out your days and you go through life and you never have this rain upon your soul, my friend, you're a wilderness already. And it'll only get harder. Your heart will only get harder, more stony, more devoid of water and refreshment. You need the Lord. And how important it is for all of us to come under the preaching of the Word. There's a minister here in town who's now long gone. Many of you would have remembered him, but he used to say, if you want to get wet, stand in the rain. Go out into the rain. Children, you know what that's like. Maybe you like to do that, especially on a summer day. when you haven't had rain for a long time and you look through the window and there's these drops coming down and you just want to go out there and you want to get wet and you do get wet. Well, spiritually speaking, the same is true. If you want to get wet, stand in the rain. Come under the preaching, the true preaching of God's Word that gives you God and sin and grace and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the truth of God spoken to sinners' hearts. And congregation, should we not pray for this for ourselves? Right now we feel the burden to pray for rain physically, and obviously we should, and we pray for it. We're looking at our apps and at the whole week there's no rain, and we worry about that and we wonder about that. But do we do this spiritually too? You can't stand it anymore. Lord, send showers of blessing. And may they fall on me. And may they fall on my family. May they fall on my son and my daughter. May they fall on my neighborhood. And also here, and I mentioned it with the VBS, that people all around us would have this rain of doctrine, of truth, God's truth. We need it so much. But congregation, there's a second thing, and it's this, that God's truth is suited to each soul, also to those who feel themselves particularly weak and frail. You see, children, one of the great things about a rain shower is that it falls everywhere, at least wherever it goes. And I'm thinking now of like a massive shower that comes over our whole state, for example. There it comes, maybe over Wisconsin, Illinois, it comes over Lake Michigan, and there our whole state is just has rain for days, and we really need it. Sometimes we don't like rain, but let's say we really need it, right? Now that rain is falling everywhere. It's falling in rich neighborhoods, in poor neighborhoods. It's falling in densely populated areas, in sparsely populated areas. It's falling in places that you like. And it's falling in places that you don't like. You see, rain is indiscriminate that way. It falls everywhere. And so the Word of God too. It falls everywhere, wherever it goes. Rich and poor, young and old, Jew and Gentile. And it should, it must. The Bible says, and the canons of Dort say it too, that the Word of God must be published to all nations and to all peoples promiscuously and without distinction. That means everybody should hear the Word of God without exception. God's Word is like rain. But notice how we cover the first two lines of this verse. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew. In the third one, we're told something very encouraging. As the small rain upon the tender herb. What's Moses talking about there? Well, the tender herb is that little piece of grass or vegetation that's just sprouted up. It's brand new. One of my sons planted some grass a few weeks ago, and we've been watering it a lot, and sure enough, there it's coming. Beautiful. The green of that grass. So tender. And then someone drove over it. And it's so weak. It's dead. At least where those tire tracks went. That's how tender new vegetation is. And spiritually speaking, that's true as well. When the Lord works in our hearts, and there's that new life, it's true. God's people will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of the Lord's hands. But the Lord takes great offense to when one of His little ones is stepped upon. And He spends a lot of time warning against it. And He Himself is a most tender-hearted God. And when it comes to these newly sprouted plants, that are weak in themselves and could be easily overwhelmed by, for example, pelting rain or hail that could destroy it. The Lord makes sure that He has small rain for the tender herb. Children, maybe your mother has just planted some annuals. They're pretty small. They're pretty young. They'll grow a lot over the summer, hopefully. But let's say she asks you to water them. And you grab the hose, and if you have one of these hose nozzles that has different, you know, outputs, and if you would water those new flowers with like a jet stream, like your strongest, pointed, sharpest stream, you'd uproot these plants. You might destroy them. Your mom wouldn't be happy. You need to treat them very, very well, very tenderly. And whatever hose you put on it or watering can, you need to be very gentle with new growth. And the Lord here has that heart Himself. He says, the small rain upon the tender herb. In other words, the Lord knows exactly, my friend, who you are. He knows the weak, the weary, those who cannot sustain the journey as much as others. And who more than the Lord Jesus Christ, who carries the lambs in His arms and gently leads those who are with young. In the whole of the Scriptures, as you see it, the Lord is most tenderly solicitous of His people, whatever their state and condition is. And that's why the Word of God has many promises too for the tried people of God, going through temptation, through difficulty, through trials. He giveth power to the faint. To him that hath no might, He increaseth strength. You see, He has His eye on you. If you are weary and heavy laden, He has a word for you. He has a particular rain for you. Small rain for the tender herb. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. What a lesson this is for us too, how to be together in community, in relationships, to understand one another, to know one another, in the family, for example. Sometimes we husbands, we can be so quickly harsh or rude. We talk to our wives or children like we do to our co-workers, to men that we work with. And instead of understanding that our words need to be tender, they need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Great compassion for the weak. He ever will maintain their right. He ought to be our example, and we should find strength in Him to deal with one another like that. We read about the Lord Jesus Christ that He didn't strive, neither did He cry, neither did He lift up His voice in the street. In other words, He was no revolutionary, crying aloud, riling up people, using harsh words as we have so many in our climate today, in our culture, social media and the like, where things are just being thrown back and forth. How we need this heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, so moved with compassion, who has rain, small rain, for the tender herb. But when we go on to the fourth thing that Moses says here in our verse, the last thing, he says there, and as the showers upon the grass, what he's saying there is, I have a small rain for the tender herb, but I also have something for that grass, for those children of mine who are growing and growing well, who've put down root and they're shooting up. And I have showers. It's a different word there. You see, the Lord knows how to mete out His refreshing rain upon His people. And just like Paul says, there ought to be milk for babes and meat for the strong. So the Lord deals with His people according to their ability and capacity, always aiming to have them grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That's why it's so important for us ministers also, in our preaching, not just to target one group or the other, but to have something for all kinds of different hearers, for the weak in faith, for those who are broken, for those who are experiencing life with such difficulty, with trouble and trial. Well, may the Lord give that. And may we all know the Spirit of the Savior and the Spirit of God in how we deal with one another. May we pray too that the Lord would bestow this blessing upon this congregation through a pastor of His own choosing, a man who would know how to go about with those who are tender plants, but also the grass that's growing up. They would be able to give to each his own in a due season. And that the Lord would give that while we go through this vacancy with those who are on this pulpit. And that He especially would rain His reign upon our never dying souls. And that in it all He would do it through His beloved Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in our third and final point. God's truth brings the Savior. You see, congregation, Moses has been speaking about my doctrine, my speech. He's been speaking about the Word of God, God's truth. But in the end of the day, what is the Word of God all about? God's Word is about the Word of God, made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth of God, is that not ultimately centered in the one who said, I am the truth, the way, and the life? Did you know that the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ as rain? Comparing Him to rain? There are two passages especially. Hosea 6 verse 3. Speaking of the Messiah, the prophet Hosea says, He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Now back in Israel still today, you have two rainy seasons. You have the rainy season in the fall when you plant things, and then you have the latter rains in which it really gets the crop ready for harvest. And what Hosea is saying to these people, these agricultural people, is he's saying Messiah is coming to this dry earth of ours. And he's going to come as the rain. He's going to come as the former rain, as the latter rain. He's going to come and be the rain, all the rain that we need for growth, for refreshment, for life. Hosea 6 verse 3. But speaking of Messiah, we find in Psalm 72, verse 6, which we're going to sing at the very end. This is what it says. He, that's Jesus Christ, shall come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. You see, congregation, how the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately is the rain of God from heaven, which you and I need. Believers among us this evening, is there anything more refreshing, more satisfying than Jesus Christ Himself? In the dryness of your life because of sin and wandering and backsliding and straying from the Lord, is there anything more refreshing? When the Lord comes to your soul afresh and He speaks to you, He shows His love and mercy to you, even His chastisements, as you need them. Because you always, when He gives them, it's because you've needed them. Even those are good. They're for your profit. Affliction has been for my profit. But it's the Savior who brings that to you, dear believer. And there are four ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ could be compared with rain. The first, children, you know this, is rain. Where does it come from? Rain comes down from heaven.
That's what we say, right? From the sky, it comes from up to down to us here. And it comes so freely and so fully rained us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He came from the heights of heaven to this dry, forlorn, parched earth. And He came as one who was truly life. In Him was light. And the light was the life of men. And He said to the Samaritan woman, He said, I have water that if you drink of that, you will never thirst. But it will be in you a fountain springing up into everlasting life. And later on in the temple, he cried it out to the people and He said, if anyone thirsts, anybody, let him come unto Me. So indiscriminately, do you hear that? It's to sinners. Far and wide, anyone thirsts, let him come unto Me and drink. Is He not then the water, the rain of heaven sent down to this earth? And when we think of what He experienced on the cross, for our sakes, dear believers, when in the forsakenness of hell, reverently speaking, there was not a drop to cool His tongue, and He was in the wilderness, the parched land, bearing the sins of His people, experiencing what you and I deserve to experience to all eternity. And that was all upon Him, all contracted and put upon Him, especially in that 3 hours of darkness. And that He would be rain for me, for you, for sinners like you. O congregation, He comes even today under the word, under the preaching of the word. And He comes as the rain. And He says, I for you, who should have suffered innumerable reproaches, who should have been cast out forevermore. But I am willing, I am ready, I am able to be the rain your soul, your life needs. Jesus is like rain come down from heaven. And secondly, congregation, Jesus is most tender. We already saw that. Most compassionate to those who are weak and frail. He knows exactly what you need, what I need. And those things may be different. Sure, essentially we all need the same thing. But the measure in which He gives it, He apportions to each His part. And the Lord Jesus, while He was on the earth, He knew how to deal with Nicodemus by night and the Samaritan woman at noon. He was approachable to publicans and sinners who needed Him the most. And the Pharisees ridiculed Him. And He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, there's something in the heart of the Lord Jesus that's drawn out to find the worst, to go to the driest places. And like rain, He makes no distinction. He makes no difference. Poor, rich, young, old, religious, irreligious, small sinners, so to speak, and great sinners. He is everything for everyone. He knows how to find us in our sin and our misery. He knew how to find Simon Peter, who had denied Him, and Mary Magdalene weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there. He's approachable. He's close. He's near at hand like the rain. So refreshing. So tender. So compassionate, and He's still the same today. He is touched even now with the feeling of our infirmities in heaven at the right hand of the Majesty on high. His heart still beats with love and tenderness for sinners. He calls. He invites. He says, come, sinner, poor and needy, weak, worn, wretched through the fall. Don't delay.
Don't push these things off. I am here to pardon, purge, and purify. Come, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. The Lord is like rain because He's most compassionate, coming all the way to find us and to be everything for us. But thirdly, congregation, the Lord Jesus is like rain because He penetrates our hearts deeply. You know, that's what you want also for rain in your garden and on your grass. And the farmers want this. They don't want something that just goes an inch into the soil. They want something that, they want rain that goes deep, that drenches the earth, that the earth soaks in this. Because that's where life is, and that's where life comes from. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not content simply to stay on the surface of your heart and the surface of your mind. But like rain, He goes deep and deeper yet. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Do you see, congregation? He comes to stay. He's not like that torrential rain that comes just to wash off, but to stay, to abide forever, because that's where life is. Like the Apostle Paul says, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He demands my all. He demands everything. And people of God, this is how it is. Yes, maybe at first it seems like he penetrates just a little bit into life. Part of your mind, part of your heart is affected, but the Lord is not content with that. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until He has your all. And that's the cry of your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Indwell me, O Lord. Take up residence in me. Not that you're always there. Not that you always want it the way you should want it. But when it comes down to it, when you see your sin, when you feel your parchedness, when you know and see that He is the only rain, then you say, wash me, cleanse me, indwell me. Make me partaker of all Thy benefits. Be my life. Be my all. The Lord Jesus Christ permeates His people. And then, like the rain, fourthly, He transforms also by indwelling His people. Exactly how it is in nature as well. What happens after a wonderful rain? Well, everything gets a boost. The seeds that lay there, they germinate and they spring up. And that which already had grown was maybe wilting. It grows more. It puts down root and it brings forth fruit. But it's all because of Christ. It's all because of the Savior. Not in me. It's not in me. It's never in me. When I do something good, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. When I do something bad, it's me. Never Christ. When I do something good, it's all of Him. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's all of Christ through the Spirit, through Jesus, God's reign. And He teaches us to say that. From me is thy fruit found. Hosea 14 verse 8. It's all of grace. It's all of Christ. We need Him. And so as we close, congregation, what satisfies you most? Is it this world? Is it your friends? Is it the pleasures of sin for a season? Oh, my friend, those things are just making you more and more parched. They're just adding to your guilt, and they cannot truly satisfy the soul's deepest yearnings. They haven't for anyone else, and they won't for you. Friend, grace satisfies. Christ satisfies. The rain of truth is what you and I need in our souls. Someone says, well, I long for that. I truly do. I wish there was something other than thorns and thistles and rock hard surfaces in my life. I pray for rain and it seems like none is coming. Or it's been a long, long time. It's so dark in my life, so quiet. Maybe the Lord's abandoned me. Be right if He did. My friend, could it be? Could it be that in the darkness of your trial just now, the Lord won't come mysteriously with the dew? My speech shall distill as the dew. As you earnestly seek Him in the midst of the darkness and you don't feel Him and you don't sense His rain upon your soul, know what the Lord says. He says, I will be as the dew. I will be as the dew. But don't stop praying. Don't stop looking. Don't stop trusting what the Lord says in His Word. Hang your helpless soul on this Lord who is everything. No matter who you are. Someone else says, you know, it's all fine and well, but it can't be for me. I'm the exception. You know, there's always an exception. That exception is me. Too broken, too wrecked, too sinful, too weak. I look around me, everyone has something. I have nothing. Nothing but sin, nothing but weakness. Oh, my friend, didn't you hear that this Savior is approachable to the worst, to the weakest? He has exactly what you need. The small rain upon the tender herb. There's none like Jesus. Oh, come to Him. Trust Him. Fall on Him. Take Him at His word. Put your finger there. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, and live and die right there. You cannot be disappointed, for the Lord would lose more than you would, my friend. He would lose His own honor. He would lose His own name. One last person says, but I can't change. I've tried everything, and I just can't change. My friend, you might be surprised with what I'm going to say to you now. You're right. You can't change. But there's one who can change you, and it's Jesus, God's rain. You need Him. And when He enters your life and when He permeates your soul, He will drive away this parchedness, this darkness, this sin. And He will transform in His way, in His time, and all for His glory and honor. And you will say it, not what my hands have done, but He alone. He, the reign of God, alone, forever. Amen.